CNN undercover video. CNN undercover video. Hey, you guys, it is the Loftus Party Podcast coming from you this week from an undisclosed location on Long Island, guys.
Long Island.
I'm out on Long Island, yeah. I'm back in your buddy JD's old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, JD. Hey, that's that other voice you hear. That other lovely siren songstress you hear is the Liberty Gimlet. I'm sure she's from some compound where the weather's lovely. JD of the JD and Stacy show. He hooked me up years ago when I was living out on Long Island. He's like the best chicken palm. The best chicken palm is at a place called Portofino. And he was absolutely right. He did not steer me wrong. In fact, I might do that for lunch today. So
nice.
So much
chicken
going on.
Chicken parm is always a good thing.
It amazes me. It amazes me. I'm always struck by, and this is like, I hate to do this completely typical, like slow roll lead in to a podcast. But
especially when you started with such a good CNN ditty.
I know. CNN undercover video. We're gonna get into that immediately. But first, chicken parmesan, because that's what's important. It always amazes me how much better the delis are on the East Coast than they are on the West Coast. I go into the Ralph's by my place in Studio City. They don't even have like chicken cutlets. Like it seems like that should be a staple of every deli. Here's just like a breaded chicken cutlet. Do whatever you want. You can heat that up. You can have it just as a cutlet. You can cut it into strips. You can put red sauce on it and have chicken parm. I don't know why they don't do it. Yes. So boo, California. Okay. We got to jump
California
in.
Can't do Italian food, period. But
they can't do anything. They can't do anything. There's a new thing today. Where I guess they were going after Uber drivers, and somehow they're trying to put a limit on how many jobs you can do in the course of a month and still be considered a like a contractor, you know, an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. So they've accidentally caught writers in their nets. So if you're a freelance journalist, they're saying you can only do 35 freelance jobs in a month. So that just crushes freelance journalists. I mean,
freelance almost anything. Freelance writers, period. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a great weeping and gnashing of teeth over that this afternoon. They've just, and it's once again, it's like you've got these morons in the state legislature, and they're like, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll put the limit to how many freelance things you can do every month. That'll show Uber. And it's like, well, now, no, you're gonna catch a lot of other people up in your big, all-knowing, all-seeing governmental net. It's horrible. It's horrible.
I know so many people that do that as extra income just because they can.
But yeah.
It's college funds and other stuff. I mean, that's just hitting people where they don't need to be a hit, especially with the price of housing and everything else in California. God.
Yeah, I am. I will be very eager to hit the dismount. That is really. They keep pushing me. Don't push me. Don't push me, because I will stick the dismount pretty darn fast. Okay.
Yeah.
We got big news stuff we got to cover, because that's what the show is all about. It's politics, it's comedy, it's current events, it's pop culture, everybody. And like legit pop culture. You know what? And I'm just way out of bounds here. But Paul Hare, who writes stuff for theloftusparty.com all mm-hmm. the time, and he's fantastic. And you guys can, people listening, you can do it too. Sign in, sign up, start posting stuff. But Paul said something that made a lot of sense to me. Like, not only do we talk about pop culture, we participate. We participate. And that made me, like, a little feather in my cap. I'll give mm-hmm. you guys a little update here. The Freedom to Laugh comedy tour, comedy tour. We were in Houston last week, and we were also in Dallas, Texas last week. Those shows were fantastic. Those shows were fantastic. Houston was great. Dallas was outrageous. Dallas was outrageous. Like thunderous applause.
You had everybody in town for the Trump rally then, didn't you?
It was the same night.
Oh, it was the same night.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, which I thought was like the turnout was for having a Trump rally. Like literally across town with a giant overflow crowd. I have some friends over there that they do the merchandise for for Make America Great Again. They were going to try to work something out, but not only was it the same night, it was actually the same time. I think Trump's rally started at 7:30 and our show started at 8. But it was fantastic. It was fantastic. So then this week, I'm in Long Island for a couple days, on Long Island. I guess they get very mad about that. And then I'll head back to Los Angeles for shows in Brea and Ontario. That's Wednesday, Thursday. I think there still might be some tickets left for that. But usually all the Republicans circle their wagons for stuff like this. But it's a great show. It's just getting better and better. And then we got some theater dates that will be coming up in the winter.
Nice.
This is what, like, legit, like, when you have something that's good, when you have something that's funny, you can't keep it a secret. And these theaters around the Midwest are like, oh, my God, you'd be perfect for this. This would be perfect. Let's do this. So we're scheduling a bunch of stuff. Things are kind of fluid right now because nothing ever stays the same. But we're figuring it out. Dates will be updated. We'll have a big update for you guys soon. But a ton of like theater shows and some more comedy club shows. It's all wonderful. Okay. Oh my gosh. And here's the other, I'll just throw this in, the giant opening. I was, when we were in Dallas, that's where the Blaze is. Mm-hmm. That's where they have their headquarters. So one of the guys doing the shows, Chad Prather, he's that big cowboy looking dude all over Facebook and whatnot. So he has a show on the Blaze. So Reno Collier and Brian Painter and myself went over there and we got to, you know, we taped a show and Chad will put that out. It'll be an episode of his podcast. So I'll inform you guys when that comes out. That was a lot of fun, but it was very cool to see the offices and stuff. I mean, the sound stages. This is an old, I didn't realize, it's an old Paramount facility. So it's like a legit studio with giant, you know, it's like these big aircraft hangar studios. But we got to go by Glenn Beck's office. And Glenn Beck has done something that is so smart. He started collecting Hollywood memorabilia. So now, whenever somebody wants to butter up Glenn for something, they'll just send him a cool piece of Hollywood memorabilia. You know, on Christmas, this happens to me all the time. Like, I'll get into cooking, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, man, I love doing this. So then everybody knows, oh, I know what to get Michael for Christmas. I know what to get him for his birthday. He likes to cook. I'm going to get him a pasta maker. I'm going to get him a bread thing. Da-da-da-da. Glenn was smart. And I like Hollywood memorabilia. So that he has, and you probably knew this, the original Darth Vader helmet from 1977.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's in his office. So now, because he has that, and it's so insanely cool, he's got like somebody's like, hey, here's a stormtrooper from a movie no one cares about, but it's cool to have. He's got one of eight pairs of slippers that they used for the Wizard of Oz, giant submarines that they used in World War II movies. He's got one of the staffs from The Hobbit that one of the wizards used, and it's very cool. I was incredibly jealous.
Yeah. Did you meet the man himself?
No, I did not meet the man himself, which would have been awesome because I want to get him I want to get him on stage at one of these shows. Glenn used to be a stand-up. I want to get Kilmeade on stage. Kilmeade from Fox used to be a stand-up. I want that to happen. I want Glenn Beck to do some shows with us. But here's the interesting thing that happened. The interesting thing, one of them, the guy who runs the Houston Improv, and I'm not, or no, the Dallas Improv, I'm sorry, and I'm not talking out of school here. I guess he does not lean to the right. I think, if anything, word is that he's quite the opposite. But here's the cool thing, and this is what gives me hope. This is what gives me hope. So our show was in there, Freedom to Laugh, and this guy is just he's just a fan of comedy. He just loves comedy. He doesn't want to get, but he had to admit, he goes, this show is damn funny. I mean, we're all getting huge laughs. I mean, it's just, it's like Thunderball, just bang, 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 bang,
no,
bang.
No, you have to come to Atlanta so I can see it.
Well, that's what we have to do. We have to do the punchline in Atlanta, if they'll have us, or maybe a small theater. This guy is talking about, do you remember a show called Defending the Caveman? It was a big Broadway show. I'm trying to remember. It was a comic that did it, and this guy who runs the Dallas Improv is like, the way he did that is like, while he was working on a show, he just had a club that was like kind of home base, and he would do that show there like every weekend, and just till it really got popping, and then he took it on the road, and he was kind of like offering up the Dallas Improv. He's like, come in here and just kind of just crank it out, and just, we'll just, this will be like your home club, and if I could work that out, I would do it in a heartbeat. If I could work that out, I would do it in a heartbeat. But it's exciting. It's exciting, and it's good news. Okay, so here's what we got. And this is in our not-so-breaking news department. 10 minutes
not
in.
Not-so-breaking news.
right? Our recap of the not-so-breaking news. We have CNN and Project Veritas. They got a bunch of undercover video, just like they did with Planned Parenthood.
100
they talked
hours.
To the people who work there. They got 100 hours of video.
I heard an interview with James O'Keefe, and he said they have 100 hours of video, and I think they've released like maybe a total of 45 minutes.
Well, he's got to bring, I don't know what he's holding back if he's got 100 hours, but he needs to bring something like super salacious, because so far I haven't been surprised by anything. You've got, here's an undercover video. We're talking to a guy who works one of the cameras for the Jake Tapper show or something. And he's like, yeah, CNN, they hate Trump. They hate him. And you're like, well, no doubt.
But I think,
I'm not surprised.
I think the whole thing that, like, yeah, we all knew that they hate Trump. Got it. But I think the revelation really was the person who hates Trump the most is the guy who runs the network, and he has basically taken all editorial control of all of the shows.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, it's weird. I guess there's, the allegedly, I'll say this to protect ourselves legally, allegedly, during a Jake Tapper broadcast, Jeff Zucker like got on the phone and was telling the producer in the control room, you know, don't go to commercial, keep this going, keep this segment going, you know, ask her this, ask her that. It was an interview, I guess, that Jake Tapper was doing with Kellyanne Conway, and I guess they didn't go to commercial for like 30 some minutes, and I guess that's not good. I guess you don't want that. I mean, seriously, there's a part of, I mean, I don't know. We know that CNN hates him. We know that Zucker hates him. You know, we know that they have him out to get, I guess maybe I've got Stockholm syndrome with it. You know, like I haven't believed that CNN was like anything other than opinion shows for years now. For years. That's what you and I have had this conversation a bunch, you know. Just admit it. Just call it CNN opinion, you know, CNNO. But don't, as long as they're not presenting themselves as real news, and that's what gets under my skin, You know, is that there's still people in the airport who are like, well, this is real news. This is real. How are you that stupid that you can't tell that, like, Don Lemon hates the president? You can't tell that, like, Jake Tapper despises the president? Or, it's like, that's the problem I have with it. I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked by any of it. By any of it. I guess Trump sent a threatening letter to CNN. Did you see that?
I don't know. Was it really, like, threatening or just, like, you're caught, we're done with you kind of thing?
Yeah, but I think there was, like, mention of damages and you know, possible lawsuits. It definitely had that vibe to it.
Can you kind of blame him? I mean, no. How hard did these people, I mean, how many times by CNN journalists, and please see the air quotes there, people, was he called a traitor?
Yeah.
A Russian asset? I mean, how many times did that happen? Not just from people on a panel who may not be paid CNN contributors, right? But literal CNN employees, like Jeffrey Toobin and Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo.
Yeah. Well, that's where you have to change their designation. You really do. I was kind of halfway joking before, but then the more I think about it, we should just call it CNNO, which is, you know, cable news network opinion show. Take away their news status. There should be, it's like when you try to get an airplane license, you have to be qualified. You should have to have, I'm actually onto something here. You should actually have to call yourself news, you have to do the majority news. You have to do, like, the majority of your broadcast day has to be, like, just straight up news, and then you can have opinion as well. But that has to be in the minority, or else you get designated an opinion channel.
Right.
I think that's a great idea.
I was reading Mark Levin's book. Very smart man. Super smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've learned an awful lot from Mark Levin. Don't always agree with him 100%, but I've learned a lot. And I guess he said back in the 50s, one of the professional organizations that govern journalism, et cetera, said the biggest threat to the press in this country is the, and this was in the 50s, like before you and I were even born, right?
Yeah.
You know, the biggest threat to the news media was the blurring of the line between opinion and straight news.
And they were absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with them more. This thing where, and I think we've spoken about this before, where it's a color coded thing, or
right?
There just has to be like a blatant, like, something on the screen where you go, oh, that's that giant orange. That means it's an opinion show,
right?
So I got no problem.
But I mean, you don't, like, Rachel Maddow doesn't hide that her show is an opinion show. Tucker Carlson right. does not hide that his show is an opinion show. The problem on CNN is that none of them admit to being opinion shows.
Yes.
It's like, guys, the mask is off. And, you know, maybe part of the problem is, my understanding is, Zucker used to be at the network where Trump did The Apprentice. They actually had a working relationship, but he's literally coming from entertainment, right? News yeah. is not supposed to be infotainment. It's supposed to be news.
Yeah. Well, I guess that happened in the... It happened towards the end of... Walter Cronkite's reign over at CBS. There used to be a thing where, and I could be wrong, I think I'm right, where the FCC, in order to get your license to broadcast, you had to donate so many hours, I think it was at least 1 hour, just to straight news, mm-hmm. just to straight news. And then that law was sunsetted. So now... They do news, or something they call news, because everyone's used to it. But like your local stations, they don't have to do local news. They can do whatever they want, and it can be straight up opinion. But It does. It's false advertising. That's the thing that kills me about CNN. It's false advertising. You have all these people in the airport. You know, you have somebody who's you know, just gets off a plane. They look up as they're walking through the airport, and there's CNN saying, "This is the end of America. We've all lost. He's betrayed his constitution." And they go, "Oh my gosh, the news just told me that this is the end of America." And like, no, that's Don Lemon, and he's got. He's lying.
Right?
They gotta. I seriously, and it's like, it's horrible. I feel bad for even pitching the idea of the federal government to step in, but maybe somebody over at the FCC needs to wake up, and they need to check the rule book to see what people can get away with in terms of, you know, disguising opinion as news. You hear that? You hear that, FCC? We have commanded you to look at this. You will look into this. There has to be a law. There has to be a law. As I say it out loud, I'm like, there's got to be something on the books already where you can't just have like fiction and call it news.
Yeah, except I'm a little more optimistic.
Okay.
Because I never, almost ever, turn on a news network, okay, unless I see breaking news in writing in a you know, written form from someone who I trust, or Kimberly Strassel's going to be on talking about her new book. Like, I tune into those programs to watch specific people talk about specific things, right?
Yeah.
But the rest of what I do is search the web myself, look for original sources, listen to original speeches, and I really think what's interesting to me about the whole landscape is, number one, you've seen a whole lot of left-leaning blogs just collapse, right?
Think
Progress, Gizmodo. Now Huffington Post is up for sale by Verizon. Fox is having financial issues, right? They flooded the market. And they went way to the left because all projections were saying this progressive strain that started to come out in, you know, in the Obama years was going to be the new normal. It's not. Okay, Twitter is not real life. And Huffington Post, started by Arianna Huffington and Andrew Breitbart, don't know that, is up for sale by Verizon.
Well, Arianna Huffington, you can say, is one of the most fortunate, blessed, lucky people in America.
Right.
Just for that whole thing, how that went down. But, like, that's, yeah, I wonder if it's, it is totally leans to the left. I wonder, did Vox like pick up that audience? Did the farther Vice
what it is,
pick up that audience? I heard Vice is struggling too.
Vice is struggling. They've lost their HBO show. Now they're just running reruns on their own cable show. What they thought was there was going to be a continuous demographic shift that looks a lot like left-leaning Twitter, right? Which isn't really left-leaning. It's completely fallen to the left. One of the things we're also seeing is the Democratic candidates seem to think Twitter is real life and people really want to give up their private health insurance and they're really concerned about trans rights and a whole bunch of other stuff that just isn't true. Right?
Yeah.
So you've seen this complete shift in the Democratic Party and in the left-leaning news media. Now those organizations are failing. And when you're seeing the kids that are like 25 and under pop up, is on The Blaze. It's on The Daily Wire. It's on Steven Crowder's channel. It's on that demographic, because of the democratization of information and because it's all available, right? People are like looking around and seeing who's saying what and what seems to make the most sense.
I would really love to dig into the numbers on that and see if that, like, to see, like, are people, you know, what the Huffington Post readership was, you know, 3 years ago, how much it has fallen, where was the Daily Wire 2 years ago, how much has it grown? That kind of stuff really intrigues me, because you would always hear that people aren't watching TV anymore. People aren't watching TV anymore. Well, just as many people are watching TV now that were in 1980, they're spread out. They're spread out. And then if you factor in Amazon, Netflix, and all that stuff, there's more. There's more people watching TV. It's just, you know, they're spread out all over the place. They're not, you know, connected by, you know, four networks or even, you know, 80 channels. It's, you know, 300 channels. So
look on subscribers and views on YouTube alone, and you look at some of the numbers that Joe Rogan does or Tim Pool does, who's an independent journalist with a couple different channels. But I mean, yeah. Tim Pool on a single video every single day gets more viewers than Brian Stelter does on Reliable Sources.
Yeah, Brian Stelter.
Tater! You know Tater!
Mark anyway. Dice, that guy. I remember on Twitter when Mark Dice crossed the 1 million subscribers thing, and everybody was like, oh wow, congratulations, he's up to 1.5 million now.
Yeah, I think Dave Rubin is nearing 1 million, Joe Rogan's way beyond that, and that's just on YouTube, and these guys are on multiple platforms. And then you've got the CEO of YouTube complaining that her son, right, this complete social justice ball of mess that, like, cries at a freaking conference, right? Because that dope at Vox's feelings were hurt by Steven Crowder. I mean, that was too much to watch, really. Her son watches Ben Shapiro, and she freaked out about it.
That's great.
Isn't that though?
Yeah.
Like, I just want her kid to buy the Facts Don't Care About Your Feelings t-shirt and wear it around the house.
That is, it happened to Juan Williams' kids. It just, let's hope it's the trend. I mean, I really think, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be doing any of this. I really think that people need some kind of anchor. People, they just want, listen, everybody wants to do other stuff.
Right?
Like, you might want to open up a chicken and french fry stand, right? So if that's really what your desire is, you want to have the best chicken restaurant ever, you at least need to get up and know, okay, these are the political facts. These are what's going on. I can touch base with that. Now I can move on with my life. It's
right.
Just completely flipped with the left. Their life is politics. Their life is politics. If we aren't, you know, making some new agency from the government to solve some problem that we're going to hyperinflate and make you all worried about, like, it's not good. It's not good. And I've seen it said so many different ways.
Crazy lady in California.
Oh, that lady who came after Rand Paul.
Yeah. I mean, she's like, I'm not going to sit here and take your Republican shit. I'm like, really? Republican shit is now ordering a sandwich and sitting there quietly eating it? Why would we ever put these people in charge? Oh.
Her preamble. Well, you messed with someone from New York, buddy, and we're not going to put up with any of your Republican crap. Like, I love him. The husband is just kind of standing there going, we may have different opinions. We may not see eye to eye. And it's like, seriously, Rand Paul's just trying to eat a chicken salad sandwich. We may not see eye to eye. So the husband is at least reasonable. He's being rude. He's interrupting a meal. But it's always the ladies. It's always the ladies that you messed with someone from New York City. And honey, I guarantee you try that in Columbus, Ohio. You come out with that, you messed with someone from New York City. Like, listen, there's nothing in your DNA that doesn't mean I can whoop your butt six ways to Sunday. Those people annoy me the worst.
Please come into my football bar and start that. You'd have six women turn around and go, yeah, so?
Seriously. These people,
like, I don't care.
just because they reside in New York City automatically make them tough. No,
yeah, no,
that That it doesn't work that way. There's nothing in the water. Well, there is stuff in the water. There's some lead and some rocket fuel, especially out on Long Island. Right. But like this whole, you messed with someone from New York City. It's kind of like actually the charm in a weird way of like living out here, because you'll see these people in Target. I have a coupon for 5 cents off. I grew up here. And they make it sound like it's the most important thing. The drama is just cranked up to 110. Just shut up, lady. Just mess with... Like, oh, that was annoying as all hell. This is a
sandwich. Call it lunch. Could you just please go do whatever you were going to do when you walked into the restaurant?
Seriously. And like, what are they hoping to... I don't like it when people interrupt people's meals. I really don't, for whatever reason.
Rude.
Don't. It is.
And I'm from New York.
Years ago. So don't mess with the gypsy. I'm from New York City. I was a million years ago.
Upstate,
I was
at, where we talk right, but anyway.
I was at Jerry's Deli in Los Angeles. I was at the Studio City location. Mm-hmm. And I'm in there, and I'm having a meal. And the booth next to me is Garth Brooks and his manager. So I'm eating. I'm eating so quietly because I'm totally eavesdropping on their conversation. Right? Because I want to know what Garth Brooks and his manager have cooking.
Right?
And I'm like, how often do you get to hang out at Jerry's Deli with Garth Brooks? So they're talking about this fundraiser.
Near Garth Brooks. Near Garth
Brooks. Yeah. Right? But like, their whole meal, and I listened to as much as I could. Seriously, I was like a spy in the house of Garth. They're literally talking about how much money they can raise, the shows they're going to do, who's going to be on the show, what a great cause it was. And it was like a children's charity, and it's kids and hospitals. And, you know, Garth Brooks is like, and then I'm pretty sure this person will donate their time. And I'm pretty sure I can talk this person into doing it. It's going to be, and they're working on, it's going to be a problem, you know, the scheduling, but they can get the venue. And it's like, it was great. Like,
Garth's heart is,
yeah. And then I'm watching this guy sitting next to him. And this guy, he's eating by himself too. And he's like, I can see him trying to work up the courage to interrupt. He's trying to work up the courage to interrupt. And finally he does. And I'm just like, oh, you dick. You dick. And he's like, hey, I'm Jerry such and such from the blah blah blah. Like from a freaking printing company or something that wasn't even gonna help the event. If you need anything while you're in LA, I have a, you know, I'm in charge of the Western Conference, blah blah blah. And like Garth Brooks was completely polite.
And, of course he was.
And like took the, oh, oh, I'm not gonna. If I'm ever, I'm not gonna be a good celebrity. I'm not gonna be a good famous person.
Lunch in here.
I'm gonna be like, dude, I'm having lunch. I'm raising money for a charity. Why don't you take your card, shove it up your ass, and keep walking?
Well, I mean, here's, you and I have met, right? We've had some extended conversation. People around here, well, why don't you run for office? Why don't you run for state senate? Why don't you do this? I would make the worst public representative ever, because if that woman from New York came up to me, the first thing I would have done was stand up.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm about 5'9". Yeah. She would have backed right off. I said, and I would have said exactly this. I don't know what you're talking about. This is a sandwich. We call it lunch. You need to
It's like zero tolerance
I don't know. For that stuff.
I think it's bubbling up. I really think it's bubbling up. There's been a bunch of videos on Twitter lately I've seen where people have just had enough. Like there was some climate protester on top of a train in England the other day.
Oh my God.
And everybody, did you see that?
Did you see the one that glued herself to a door?
Hold on. I didn't see that, but I saw a bunch of people in England that were pissed off. They were going to be late for work, and yep, they reached up and they pulled this dude off the train. They're like, all right, enough of the shenanigans. And then there was another one recently where climate activists were blocking an intersection, and they had a big banner, and they were holding hands, and some dude had enough, and he's like, we got to go to work. I got to get, and he's wearing like nurse's scrubs. So he's like untouchable. This guy's literally going to work to save lives. And these people are chanting about There's too much carbon dioxide.
I mean,
we gotta go to work.
Here you are protesting with your social justice climate crap, right? Because it's not about the climate. It's about all the other programs, as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's former chief of staff clearly articulated. So they're out there purporting to help low-income and working-class people while blocking and all of these college kids, you know, privileged, they all come from money, right? And they've got to fight something, so this is their battle. They're going to change the world.
Yes.
And they're blocking the very people they purport to help.
And oh my God,
from getting to work, picking up their kids. I mean, come on, guys.
He rips down the sign, the camera falls, and the whole time he's like screaming, "We gotta get to work. We gotta get to work."
Exactly.
And then he knocks, the camera gets knocked out of this girl's hand, and you just hear her say, "Why would you do that?" And he screams again, "We gotta get to work.
You're in my way."
It's hilarious.
All I know is that when we were having all the protests a couple years ago after Ferguson and everything else, I don't know if it's because Southern people are just laid back. I don't know if we're lazy. Maybe we just have a different perspective, but we had one chain of about 14 people that tried to block I-75 for about 6 minutes, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, we just don't do that down here anymore. We did our thing in the 60s. We all learned how to live together, and y'all are just crazy.
It's Antifa is where your smelly, I don't have a job people go, and then they'll say they don't have a job because their job is protesting. That's half of it. And then you got the other half of the climate protesters are all from these, you know, these super rich schools, and their parents are well off. And I'm just taking a break from my studies abroad. I'll be going back to school in Sweden soon, but I'm going to take the summer and protest. It's like what Jane Fonda's doing
summer
right now.
Twerk. I mean, have you seen all this crazy twerking that's going on? Can you tell me what that does for your issue, please? Because I'm just sitting here laughing.
Yeah, well, it's all about attention, isn't it? I mean, that's what it all is. Look at me. Look how much I care. You know, oh, look at me. I'm out here for supposed climate change, but I'm gonna wear my short shorts and shake my ass like I'm at a gay club in 1982. It's
right.
Like, look at me. It's all just look at me. Look at me. But that's one part of it. But it's like I was saying, like the Jane Fonda part. Like Jane Fonda has a hit show on Netflix or something. So she told everybody, "Oh yeah, yeah, she's got a show. Yeah, she's got a TV show." And she announced a couple weeks ago that during her hiatus, here's what she's going to do, Gimlet. She's going to during her hiatus, she's going to fly out to Washington, D.C. She's going to get an apartment there. She's going to live. She's going to make Washington, D.C. her home base for the 4 months that her show isn't working. And then every Friday, she's going to go to the our nation's capital, and she's going to protest climate change, and she's going to get arrested. And that's what her vacation plans are. I'm going to go to D.C. and get arrested every Friday. I call them Fire Drill Fridays. Please come join me. So it's like, the
Jane,
most.
You're no Greta Thunberg, honey.
How dare you? It's the most elitist thing I've ever heard. I'm gonna use my vacation to protest. Join me, and then you know, when my vacation is over, I'll fly back to L.A. and continue working on my hit TV show. Just it makes me disgusted.
Have you heard about this impeachment super squad?
No, I haven't. There's a super squad now?
Oh, it's made up of the best of the best.
Who do we got?
We have Rosie O'Donnell.
Nice.
We have Tom Arnold, and we have Alyssa Milano.
Wait a minute. What we're doing now is we're going over things that I've been on Fox News commenting on, and it's hurting my feelings a little bit. I was on Fox News commenting on Jane Fonda, and then this is the new This is the new Twitter squad that was organized, and I commented on this as well. Now, granted, we have more time, so I can get it, and I don't have to be that funny on this show. But to me, now here's the thing. At first blush, it seems, naive and stupid and crazy. However, there's something to what these guys are doing. They have a hashtag. They have a name for it, and it's not Super Squad. It's something else. I'd have to go back through my emails.
I just saw it, and Alyssa Milano has spent too much time in my state trying to affect elections and public policy and completely failed for me not to find her somewhat amusing.
So here's what they're doing, and this is the scary part. They're organizing. Someone on the left put this together, and what he did is he's going through, in order to qualify for this little action committee, you have to have over 25,000 followers. So what he's going to do is they're going to get together and they're going to coordinate in order to affect trends, affect hashtags, affect the news on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So their plan is when the president does something, they're going to immediately get on the phone, talk about here's the hashtag we can use, here's the language we can use, and we'll all start tweeting in 3, 2, 1, now, go, so that they can kind of make sure their narrative gets out. It's actually like evil. It's like brilliant and evil. If you can get an army of people who all have 25,000 followers, your message is going to get out fast, fast, you know, right or wrong or indifferent. It's propaganda. It's propaganda. And they're not doing this for free. They actually have a GoFundMe. And I'm like, that's the despicable part. Rosie and Tom Arnold and Alyssa Milano and all these people, they're gonna tweet for free, I guarantee you. But now they figured out a way, okay, we can get paid. We can get paid. Mm-hmm. It's just paid propaganda.
Well, Alyssa's gotta pay her taxes.
Oh, has she got tax problems?
She's had tax problems for a couple years. I don't know. She might have paid him by now, but yeah, she got hit big for that. But I mean, I just watch her. I mean, some of it, if you're looking to influence like millennials, right? Okay, that may work because they're the feelings generation. And there's actually a new interesting theory out there that we can explore another time as to why they turned out as weird as they did. But if you're looking at people younger than that and people my age, their older cousins, we kind of look at it and we laugh. I mean, literally, Alyssa Milano was down here during a congressional election offering free rides to people to take them to vote, and her candidate still lost. Like, there are huge segments of this country that don't want people in Hollywood telling them what to do, because we see the press that comes out of Hollywood. We see the things these people do in their personal lives. And why are you supposed to be my intellectual or moral better? Guess what? You're not.
I want to keep it that way. And that's where we got to, we were having some fun with Project Veritas and saying they got to release some more salacious stuff.
Yeah.
But hopefully there is that hunger for the truth. Hopefully the, the Ben Shapiro videos will keep popping up on the head of YouTube's kids, suggested thing. As long as that can keep happening, maybe I'm just too much of a pessimist. I just can't think they're going to keep finding new and amazing ways to deplatform people. I don't know if this had happened by the last week's podcast, but there was some big pro-Trump Facebook site with over like 3 million people on it that got shut down. And I don't know if it's back up. I honestly don't.
I need to check on that. But, they continue to do that. But then Zuckerberg comes out and makes some really weird speech at Georgetown that everybody on the left gets mad at him about. I took a look at that page, and I'm not defending this, so don't take it that way. I think it's wrong. But big Alex Jones fans, you're not allowed to put InfoWars stuff on Facebook anymore. Like, when they deplatformed Alex Jones, Facebook basically disappeared him.
Yeah. But it's so weird. It's like Alex Jones was on shortly after he got, maybe 6 months after he got deplatformed. He was talking on the Joe Rogan podcast about the pig people and how they're making pig people and they're doing. And you look into it, and he was right. He was right. I mean, they're trying to.
I'm reading some incredible stuff now. Because I'm really trying to dig into this whole Ukraine thing, right? Because you know me, I get curious because I'm a little wonky.
Yeah.
So Glenn Beck did that whole Ukraine chalkboard thing, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, there's more to it than that. So then I go out and do something completely insane. And I watch Oliver Stone's video on the Ukrainian called the Maidan Revolution that took the president out of power. And elected Poroshenko, who was the last president before Zelensky, right?
Yes, and Poroshenko is a very, very good ham as well. There's,
is it?
There's...
prosciutto, honey. Prosciutto.
I'll have the Poroshenko.
But anyway, so I end up like hearing things, and then I Google things. Well, I don't Google them. I brave them now because I don't Google anything. That needs to stop being a verb. I end up at places where the head of Google is meeting with Julian Assange back in the mid 2000s, and a full transcript of that interview that went on for like 3 hours, and there were campaign people from advisors to Hillary Clinton and State Department people there.
Wow.
And there's a recording.
That is nuts. That is completely nuts.
It's completely nuts. But when you look at it, you start like, I don't like Oliver Stone. I think he's insane, right?
He's a little nutty.
He's a little nutty.
He can go a little far out on the tree.
If you watch his, I don't know, it's like maybe an hour long, maybe a little less. You can't even find, like, you can search it by title on YouTube now, and it will not come up in the first 10 pages. I have the link for it, but it will not come up. Ever since Glenn Beck did his chalkboard, Oliver Stone's documentary on YouTube has disappeared.
Wow.
So I highly suggest you, it's called Ukraine on Fire.
Ukraine on Fire.
I can send you the link, Michael. But all there are certain things said in there where if you Google those terms, you end up on all these blogs and you're learning things that the news media has never told you.
Dang.
You're seeing translated speeches from parliamentary people in the Ukraine saying, why is the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine working with these NGOs to train people how to protest? You hear leaked calls from people like Victoria Nuland and other representatives of the U.S. talking about who we're going to place in the government and what really happened during the Maidan Revolution. It's terrifying stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about what they did to Trump. It's about what they're hiding.
Well, that is, I noticed that someone on the left has finally picked up on this. Someone wrote an article for Rolling Stone, which got, I beg you, Rolling Stone, I beg you to get out of politics. I'm begging you to get back to music. But if you're going to do politics, at least ever occasionally they'll have a dude like this. Who's pretty much saying what we're witnessing is the CIA and I don't even know if he used the word deep state or not, but you're watching unelected officials decide who they want for president, and that is the danger. And this person, like, God bless him, is like saying, you know, try to put aside your hatred of Trump for a little bit. This is the potential threat that comes when, okay, maybe there's a Democrat who's elected president, and the CIA and the FBI, they don't like that person. Then
I saw
these
some similar in Vanity Fair, a similar article.
I wonder if this is kind of dipping the toe in the water for what's about to happen. And I really hope it does happen. I really hope it does happen. I got high hopes for Attorney General Barr.
If you look at Glenn Greenwald, right, from The Intercept, you look at Michael Tracy. These are both journalists. Michael Tracy's an independent. And Greg Greenwald used to have a contributorship, I believe, on MSNBC or CNN, one of them.
Yeah.
Because he started questioning all this stuff and being suspicious of the intelligence agencies like the liberals used to be. I mean, this is a traditional liberal point of view, right? That secrecy and all, you know, clandestine kind of stuff is not good. And they basically lost their official positions and went, you know, he went and started The Intercept. Michael Tracy's doing his own thing now because they weren't allowed to say that on the left-leaning outlets.
Yeah, it's so short-sighted of all, and it's what I don't like about the Democrat Party. It's what I don't like about the left. They go to this place where the ends justify the means. The ends justify the means. Exactly. And then they don't realize the reality they've set up. Okay, so yeah, sure, this will work for you guys this time, but now we're all going to be stuck with a big giant problem. I used to hear it when they're like, Trump is undermining our faith in these institutions. You shouldn't have faith in these institutions.
You know who undermined my faith?
And you're like, who?
People like James Comey.
Oh, God.
Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, McCabe. Yeah. I mean, come on. Trump didn't do anything to undermine my faith in those institutions. He was the target of these institutions. And as more information came out, I'm like, what?
We're talking about some big time social media kung fu. This is big. I've coined this phrase. It's mine. Social media kung fu. This goes to what Hunter Biden and Joe Biden accomplished last week. So here's what they did. They took all the time they needed for Joe Biden and Hunter Biden to get their story straight. They got Hunter Biden's best people to advise him. He went out and did an interview with Good Morning America on the morning of the Democratic debate, so that all Joe had to do was, you know what, I'm gonna let Hunter's statement speak for itself. That was a brilliant piece of PR on their card. That was just, you have to doff your cap for those guys for pulling that one off. Go ahead.
It was a brilliant piece of PR if you're being asked questions by CNN and the New York Times. I think there are a fair number of reporters in the world and commentators who still would have had a lot of questions because if Hunter's best people advised him, they did a terrible job.
Well, and Anderson Cooper and the people from CNN, they certainly didn't hold anyone's feet to the fire. Cooper was an embarrassment to journalists. That guy was a complete and total embarrassment. You did nothing wrong. Trump has accused you of wrongdoing. You've done nothing wrong nor illegal. Do you still feel good about what happened? I'm going to let my son's statement speak for itself.
Yeah. No.
And then it's horrible.
I don't know that was so much kung fu as it was. I don't know what word I would use for that. Now, there were quite a few candidates on the stage doing a little bit of kung fu with Elizabeth Warren, though.
I didn't see the entire debate. My big joke on stage was I want it to be her. I want it to be her. That way, when they introduce the candidates, you know, like, here comes the president of the United States. Welcome, Donald Trump. And then everybody applauds, and now his Democratic challenger, Elizabeth Warren. I want the whole audience to do like the tomahawk chonk, you know, that whole ho, 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 ho. That would be hilarious.
Joe Biden went after her. Tulsi Gabbard went after her. Amy Klobuchar went back after her. Mayor Pete went after her.
That's what we have to talk about. The whole, oh my gosh. The whole Hillary Clinton going after Tulsi Gabbard. The whole Hillary Clinton saying that Tulsi's a Russian asset. She's like, it's wonderful to watch it happen. And she's also saying that Jill Stein is a Russian asset too.
Well, Jill Stein does have a great deal of admiration for Putin. I remember one thing I found during 2016. And she was she's a nut. She was suggesting exporting in one of her town halls somewhere up in Vermont, I think it was. She was suggesting bringing acupuncture to Russia as a means of world peace.
Well, that's just a stupid hippie. That's just a dumbass hippie right there. But
only that, they don't need Jill Stein anymore because the Green New Deal was on her website in 2016, and that's gone mainstream Democrat now. They don't need her anymore.
I just find it so insulting. If I was Tulsi Gabbard, I would be furious.
Oh, did you
How
see?
Dare you? Her tweet was great.
She called her
the queen of all warmongers.
But then she ended up on Tucker. She ended up on CBS. She ended up on NBC, I think. Like MSNBC and CNN didn't have her, but she ended up on a lot of outlets and got very specific. And you know what?
Chicken butt.
Given everything I've been reading lately, I would agree. She's pretty much queen of the warmongers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just how, like Hillary Clinton, that she just so cavalierly just say that, well, you know, the Russians are behind her and she's, you know, going to be a Russian asset. And like just casually with no proof, no nothing, pretty much calling somebody a double agent and a treasonous spy.
A veteran, no less, who's still in the National Guard. Right.
Who was
one of two Democrats on stage that actually loves America and doesn't hate people on the other side of the political aisle.
It is so incredibly rude. I can't get over it. We'll have to dig back into that as soon as possible. But I'm so glad that we stumbled across it. Here's also what's coming up. I guess this will be Monday. We'll be listening to this on Monday. Go to theloftusparty.com because I guarantee we're going to have the new Star Wars trailer, and that's going to take up a lot of my mental facilities.
No, it's going to result in another 20-minute YouTube video.
It might. It's a big couple of months for Star Wars because you got the new trailer coming out today, Monday. Then in November, you've got The Mandalorian coming out, Jon Favreau. It looks like Kathleen Kennedy might not have a future with Disney. You hear it here first, you guys. When it comes to politics, Gypsy and I are ahead of the curve. You will win more arguments. You'll be more fun at parties. We're always ahead of the curve, and I love it. And when I was doing my Star Wars videos, I'm like, you can't continue like this. They can tell me that, oh, you're just afraid of a powerful woman. That was a very successful movie. Look at the DVD. However, there's a reason why Kathleen Kennedy, it looks like she's going to be out. She's going to be out. There's a reason. So have a great week. I'm out on Long Island. We got shows in Southern California. Later on this week, more shows to be announced, other great stuff on the horizon. It's all good. And dear patrons and people from the Patreon page, I am getting organized, and the shirts will be coming. I got there's a new patron who just signed up for the certain level where you get a t-shirt. The shirts will come because they're so great. I'm getting so many compliments on the shirts. So if you're at t-shirt level, I'm making that happen. You have not been forgotten. I will come back for you. Have a great day.